Burden to Ruble, December 9, 1909. December 9, 1909. Dr. Ruble, Tacoma Park, Washington. Dear Doctor, soon after our return from the College View Conference, we called a meeting of the Sanitarium Board of the Conference Committee and leading brethren to consider the resolutions passed at the convention in reference to incorporating the Loma Linda College of Evangelists as a recognized medical school. We did expect Elder W.C. White to meet with us, but he was detained on his tour through Texas and arrived just at the close of the councils. You will remember that Brother Andros left before the favorable turn of the meeting toward the Loma Linda Sanitarium took place. Hence, he was not prepared to view everything in a correct light, even when he read the results in the review or heard our reports. However, the council finally decided to move forward, in harmony with the resolution, to appoint a committee to draw up charter and bylaws. Elder Andros, Brother Wessels, and myself were appointed the committee. We worked for several days outlining the charter, a copy of which was sent to you and other of the General Conference men for counsel and criticism. Elder Daniels returned the copy to me with a short letter outlining certain changes and reasons for suggestions, and also wrote Elder Andros more at length on questions that had been asked by Elder Andros, with reference to the relation and responsibility, financially and otherwise, of the General Conference to the College of Medical Evangelists, should it be incorporated. Here again, I think Brother Andros failed to understand Elder Daniels and the attitude of the General Conference Committee. It seemed to me that he was viewing the situation largely from the attitude of the first speakers, who expressed themselves at the closing meeting at College View. We tried to show him that a great change came over the meeting, and still, it was manifest that the official vote was not an exact expression of all the members of the committee. Yet, it was evident that all had received sufficient light to hinder them from even expecting any other decision, so that it really expressed the final mind of the convention, though it was not exactly what some of them would have desired. And still, we can understand readily how the brethren of the General Conference could not commit themselves to any financial responsibility in reference to the matter. I do not believe that any of them expected that as the school grew to dimensions, when it demanded a large outlay of means, either to meet its running expenses or to provide facilities for its work, that Southern California would be expected to bear all the demands. But as the school was to be located here, it was only to be expected that the local brethren would take the initiative in fostering its interests and providing for its immediate needs. That already, the Union and General Conferences had signified their interest in the school and recognized it as more than a local affair by passing resolutions several times with reference to it, and each providing the salary of one teacher. Inasmuch as its financial needs will not be great for the first 2 or 3 years, there was no need to hesitate by constantly keeping this financial question before the mind as a staggering proposition to discourage advancement, when the testimonies had come so plainly urging that the school might go forward in a manner to qualify physicians, with some very strong statements that showed plainly we were in danger of displeasing the Lord by longer delay. At first, there seemed to be a uniting of the forces to move forward and incorporate. But just before final action was to be taken, the Religious Liberty Institute was called in Los Angeles, in which Elders Corliss, Healy, and Cottrell were to take part. While this was on, another council was called in Los Angeles, in which leading brethren were called in to counsel with the conference committee and the sanitarium boards. And again, a strong effort and influence was brought to bear to discourage all idea of incorporating the school until the General Conference should come forward and take the responsibility of fostering the school and providing for its finances. It was argued that the college was not local, but general, and therefore the whole matter should proceed from the General or Union Conference and not from the local conference or local institution. We spent 2 heavy days working till late at night seeking to unify the forces and outline a plan of procedure. Humbly speaking, at times it seems as though it were useless. But again, the same influence that took charge of the meeting at College View at that closing council would come forward, quieting the opposition and pointing the way of advancement. I cannot say that all came to see eye to eye. Considering the long struggle we have had, and the differences of opinion of men in leading positions, Perhaps such a condition was too much to expect. But suffice it to say, influences to move forward prevailed to that extent that those of a contrary mind ceased their opposition and merely refused to vote, saying they were not clear upon the question. It was voted to accept the changes suggested by the General Conference in the Articles of Incorporation. The provision for the constituency membership was referred to the bylaws. The item providing that those who had helped the school finances might be voted in as members was thrown out, or was changed so as to be shorn of its objectionable features. Elder White, in his letter to you, has written out the detail of the meeting, just about as I view it, so I will not speak of that here. Suffice it to say, it was one of those peculiar meetings where it is very manifest that two counter-influences were struggling for the supremacy. I think the more this whole question is candidly and openly discussed, both by its advocates and opponents, the clearer the truth will be known, and the plainer the path marked out for us will become. Where brethren honestly differ, I am inclined to think it is poor policy to strenuously avoid having matters opened up for free discussion among those, of all people, who eat strong meat. Truth is bound to triumph. Why, then, fear to give it a chance to air itself in the face of error? Doubtless we follow, to some degree at least, the attitude of the popular churches towards the Adventists. Knowing we differ, we keep out of the way. I am fully convinced that we ought to take and study more fully the light that has come concerning the school, if only to get a correct view of the picture outlined. We wonder, then, that others who have not studied it should not see it at all. But it is encouraging to note that all are beginning to see that there is more in the question of the medical school at Loma Linda than they have heretofore thought. The more we try to move forward, the clearer the light becomes, and the difficulties also thicken. But our leader is more than a match for all the difficulties we may encounter. Has he not said that all power is his, and commanded us therefore to go forward?
We have a nice class of 8 students who have passed the state examiner for their entrance, a few of whom were conditioned in certain things. But as he visited our college and sanitarium and examined our students, he expressed himself as surprised at the quality of our work and the build of our students and the general work we are doing. He had examined the students in the medical colleges of Los Angeles and said that ours were above the average and really compared favorably with their best. We anticipated his visit with some fears and misgivings, but after his visit to our school, looking over our students and facilities, and listening to his remarks, we were really encouraged. It is true our facilities are modest, our teachers have no reputation, and experience in connection with the medical school of this character is new to us. But the Lord is certainly blessing us with the finest lot of students, considering them from the standpoint of missionary work, as I have ever seen brought together. Some are not as far advanced in their literary work as we might have hoped, but we are making preparation to train them up on these points already by providing extra teachers to help along the necessary preparatory work. Already, Fernando Academy is getting stirred up on the question of rearranging their curriculum for those who desire medical education to pass the New York State requirements. So, hereafter we hope the work here will be relieved of the preparatory work after Fernando and other of our leading schools will arrange for their diploma to be recognized by the state examiners, the same as a high school certificate now is. Dr. Abbott is outlining a 5 years curriculum, which will be forwarded to you for criticism and counsel. I wish that you and several other of the General Conference men could meet with me at the coming Union Conference, where these matters all ought to receive careful consideration and plans laid for very definite work for the school at the next term. Our expense for facilities for the small class we have this year will not be great. If we collect all our pledges, we shall have sufficient to keep us from going in debt. But from present correspondence, it would seem that there might be 25 or 30 students who will want to enter here next fall. This will necessitate some outlay for increased facilities, which should be provided for before the time arrives. At our recent council, you, Elder W.C. White, Elder Andros, and myself were appointed the committee to solicit funds for the school. It is thought that we should raise at least $10,000 during 1910 to provide for the needs of the school during the first 3 years. About $6,000 of this to be used to build and equip a small hospital here at Loma Linda for clinical work. Hoping you will feel to write us in detail as things come to our mind with reference to this work, and promising to keep you fully posted. We beg to remain. Signed, Burden.